Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that administrates it. We thank you that the word plus the Spirit equals power. And just thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the health of this body and everything that you are doing in our midst through our consent, yes, but through our hunger and thirst for righteousness. Whoever hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We're going to continue our series this morning, Unshakable. It's an expose on the kingdom of God. Everybody say the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the central theme, message, and vision of Jesus Christ. You can find it throughout the Gospels. And I would say that if the greatest man that ever lived made the kingdom of God his central theme, message, and vision, then it's probably a good idea that the church adopt the same central theme and message and vision. I mentioned last week, what if the church, instead of offering Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist or those things, I'm not against any of those. I'm for the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Beyond, I'll just tell you this, God doesn't care what your sign says in your churchyard. He doesn't care. His interest is the body of Christ. So I'm not against denominations, but what if instead of offering those things to people, we offer the very person and presence and power of Jesus Christ? That's what the church offered people, is that they could know Christ in the present tense by His Spirit. The church is to be a colony of kingdom-minded people, dedicated to our King and His kingdom being extended first in our own hearts. It's a good spot for an amen.
Amen.
Okay, the church is to be a colony. Colonize the earth with heaven. I don't think Jesus wanted us to wait until we're in heaven to live like we belong there. Come on, amen.
Amen.
So let's colonize the earth to look like heaven. Here you go. He's got it. Did you catch it? Anybody ever heard of H.G. Wells? He wrote The Isle of Dr. Moreau and The Invisible Man. H.G. Wells was a great English historian, even more than he was an author. I don't know if he was a Christian or not. But because he was a historian, he decided one day to read the New Testament. And H.G. Wells said this after reading the New Testament. He said, "This is the greatest proposition that's ever been introduced to humankind. That Jesus Christ wanted to change the culture of the earth to look like heaven." H.G. Wells got it. We don't even know if he's saved. And the church has marginalized it, forgotten about it, reduced it to a reward thrown in after we're dead. What are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to say that God is a whole lot more interested in getting all of heaven into you here, where everybody can derive the benefits of who you are, rather than trying to get all of us into heaven tomorrow. Amen. Well, about 10 and gaining about 3 every 30 seconds. I'm going to keep going. The church is to be a colony of kingdom-minded people dedicated to our King and His kingdom being extended in our hearts first. That's what's happening here. What's been happening this summer? People have thrown open the doors of their heart to the rule of Christ by the Spirit. That's what's happened. People are hungry for Him and tired of religion. Lifeless, dead, organized religion. And once the King extends His rule in our hearts by the Spirit, then through us will extend His rule to every other heart that would receive Him. That's what I mean by maybe instead of offering church membership or this denomination or that one or this worship style, what if we got back to offering Christ as the answer to the world, not church attendance or church membership? Amen. If as a church your goal is to outdo or outgrow other churches down the street or to prove yourself more right than all the others, you've just proved yourself more wrong than all the others. Amen. The church has to move from this church mindset, this kingdom, little K, our little kingdom, us four and no more. This is how we do it. And we're better than others. We got to grow into a kingdom mindset. If you don't like what they're doing or it sounds off, pray for them. Pray for them. Ask the Spirit of the Lord to visit them in a great and mighty way. Here's a novel idea. Ask the Lord to use you to communicate in some form or fashion or pray in some form or fashion for transformation. But I really believe as churches, if we're not up to God's kingdom business, we'll soon be out of business. That's what I think. Let's go through some Bible drill this morning. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is 600 years before Christ. And the government, or 700, and the government will be upon his shoulder. What's Christ bringing? The government of God. The King of heaven is bringing the Spirit of heaven here. Because everybody who's broken and battered and beaten is here. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end to it. His government is going to keep expanding. His peace is going to keep growing throughout the earth because it's expanding into human hearts. Nowhere does it say that the church is coming and the church should be extended in people's hearts because church attendance is so important. Christ is important. Amen. Christ then builds the church and assembles the church and matures the church. The church that Christ is building is the one that's emerging in his power and his fullness. There'll be no end to it upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. He'll rule and he'll order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. What happened to Pastor Steve all summer long? The zeal of the Lord of hosts is performing the advancement of God's kingdom in human hearts. And I'm 1,000,000% behind it. I'm all in where that's concerned. Amen. You're welcome. Luke 4, verse 40. And all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. Sounds like good friends, doesn't it? They were sick, so they brought them to Jesus. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons came out of many of them saying, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And then he rebuked the demons, didn't allow them to speak, for they knew he was the Christ. And then he departed and went to a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and tried to keep him from leaving them. How many of you know that's a smart town? Yes. Don't leave. Verse 43, but he said to them, what? I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I've been sent. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and people are getting liberated. Why? Because when the Spirit of the Lord hits the town, people get set free. You got scripture for that? I do. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is lording, there is liberty. Jesus said in Matthew 12:28, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. How does it come? By the Spirit. Dealing the devil damaging blows all over town. Amen, church. Amen. Do you see how if the church doesn't embrace the Holy Spirit, it's not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not against the Bible, but don't give me the Bible without the Spirit who wrote it, who administrates it in truth, not in death, not in bondage, but in grace and in liberty and empowerment to do what we're created to do. Don't enslave me with it. Set me free with it. Now give him praise in the house of God. Amen. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus and Pilate, this is New Century Version, Jesus said to him, my kingdom doesn't belong to this natural world. If it belonged to this world, my servants would have fought to keep me from being given over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is from another place. Where's it from? The Spirit, the heavens. It's an unseen kingdom that rules the unseen realm of the human heart. Pilate said, so you are a king. Jesus said, you say rightly that I am a king. This is why I was born. and came into the world to tell people the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me. Young people, do not believe the psychobabble that goes on in the culture today, coming down the information internet highway, that there is no truth. Don't you believe it. God sent his one and only son to bear witness not only that there is truth, but if you come to know it, it'll set you free as a human being. Amen. Amen. There absolutely is truth, and everyone who belongs to the truth listens to the words of Christ himself. How about this one? Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God's no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34, if he anointed the first body of Jesus, I think he wants to anoint the current body of Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, New Living Translation. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee, literally down payment, earnest payment, that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he's purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of your fullness that's coming in heaven. Amen. Anybody excited about heaven? Anybody ever pictured heaven? Seems like a great place, doesn't it? Nobody's mad at each other. There's no strife. People, even in their mother-in-laws, are getting along great. Baptists love the Pentecostals in heaven. Catholics and Lutherans are slapping high five. And yet Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is there. Pray that that culture that's there would be cultivated here. The Holy Spirit is the down payment, a measure of what's coming in fullness. Amen. That's rather exciting. Isn't it good to know there is still more to come? As good as the Spirit is here, there's more. This isn't everything. He's just a down payment of what's coming in fullness. Did you know you couldn't receive God's kingdom in its fullness in that earthen vessel you're wearing? You'd have a neurological meltdown. You'd have to get one of those patches. A lot of patches. The kingdom's not coming in its fullness until we're rid of these temporary earthly bodies. It's not coming in fullness until Jesus arrives, tearing the veil between time and eternity. Amen. God doesn't work by time. We're limited to it. But Jesus is going to tear the veil between time and eternity, heaven and earth, the spirit and the natural. And when he tears that veil, we're going to see him and we're going to experience the kingdom in greater measure, and we'll rule with him forever and ever and ever and ever. And if you're not excited about it, I notice there's a funeral home a mile away. You can go check by it. I'm not sure you're alive. Touch your neighbor and say you're going to rule and reign with Christ. So even though we have a down payment of our inheritance through the Holy Spirit of God's kingdom, it is God's will that every time we gather in the power, the presence, and the person of Jesus Christ the King. Every time we gather in this house, it is God's will we gather in the power and the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. Every time. God doesn't give churches a 2 1 week, a 5 1 week, a 7 another week, and oh boy, wasn't it good, we had a 10 today. We're not here rating movies. It is also equally God's will that every day of the week you walk in the power, the person, and the presence of Jesus. Every day of your life, he's not giving you a 2 1 day and a 5 another day. Well, I just feel him more today than I did yesterday. Well, don't go by your feelings. They'll lie to you. Thank God feelings are not the highest discernment of truth. Amen. So we left off last week talking about the nature of the kingdom that we belong to and that belongs to us. Number one, the kingdom is personal. It's relational because it arrived here in the King himself, Jesus Christ. The kingdom and its rule is not just some far off abstract thought. It arrived in the person of Christ. He's personal. He loves you. He gave his life just for you. Number two, the kingdom is unshakable. The kingdom of God in its nature is, it's unshakable. How many of you are glad to belong to an unshakable kingdom? Boy, I am. Hebrews 12:26, his voice shook the earth, but now he's promised, saying, yet once more, I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. There's the two realms. Remember, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, two worlds simultaneously to work together, that the earth would be governed by the Spirit because God's established his throne in the heavens, but he rules over everything. Verse 27, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, things that are made. Okay, what can be shaken? Things that are made, things in the physical realm, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. All right, who's going to be unshaken in our current culture? Those who are connected to and receiving on a daily basis the unshakable kingdom of God. That's going to be who's unshakable and unmoved by what's going on. You can't get truth from how you feel or what you think or what you believe or even how you act. You're not going to get truth from how you feel, you think, you believe, or even how you act. Did you know there's truth that exists beyond what you think about yourself? There's truth that exists beyond what you believe about yourself. There's truth that exists beyond how you feel. Amen. Truth was here long before you got here. Truth will be here long after you're gone. Amen. I promise you, there's people sitting in churches today that think this. Well, if I don't believe it, it's not true. I beg to differ. Like you believe everything right. You've got the market cornered on belief. You can't get truth from feelings, thoughts, your performance, the opinions of others. You can't even get truth from a doctor's report. You can get a fact from it, but truth is a higher law than fact. Amen? Brother Steve, what are you saying? Are you denying what the doctor is saying? I'm not denying what any report says in the natural. I am denying that's the only realm there is. There's a spirit realm where our God reigns supreme, and he has the last word, not the doctor. Yeah. Amen. Somebody give him praise. You remember Waylon Jackson shared just a couple of Sundays a testimony where his son's getting his hair cut. The woman that cut his son's hair couldn't have children. And he shared with her, hey, my wife was told the same thing, and you're cutting the miracle's hair right now. Couple of years later, she had children. I never deny what any doctor or it might be factual in the natural realm. I do deny that the natural is all there is. And any church that just succumbs to, well, if it's true in the natural, it's true. I don't want to say shame on you because it's not good to say. But phooey. Phooey, that's hogwash. We are people of the Spirit. We know full well that truth exists in the spirit realm, not in the natural realm. Fact may exist in the natural realm, but truth exists in the spirit realm. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 John 5:6, the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. Don't lock me into the natural realm. I believe God's calling us right now into supernatural places of unshakable peace. I think God's calling us to places outside of the boat, out here on the water where Jesus lives and walks. Calling us out of our carnality and just natural things. A place of unshakable peace to the degree that it astounds your friends and family. Brother, why aren't you shaken? Why aren't you undone by that? I belong to an unshakable kingdom. Yeah. I belong to a kingdom of the spirit. I belong to a higher dimension. Let it astound and confound your friends, your family, and even your own understanding. Is it possible scripturally to have peace that passes all human understanding? Amen. Those that belong to the unshakable kingdom and understand it belongs to them, those are those people. And God's calling us to that place. The Spirit is the truth. So what am I saying? I'm saying the Spirit's account is the one that's really accurate. How many of you ever look at your bank statement? About three of you. We're in big trouble. Yeah, we try not to. When I get my bank statement, that bank statement is their account of what's in my account. Now, I have more faith in their account of what's in my account than I have faith in my account of what's in my account. And so it is with the Spirit and truth. I have more faith in God's account of what's in my account than I have faith in my account of what's in my account. Why? Amen. Why? Because my account has feelings attached to it. I feel like I got a million in there, but that may not be accurate. My account's based on human feelings. My account's based on circumstances. My account's based on my performance. My account's based on what a doctor told me. But God's account of what's in my account is really what's in my account. Amen. Come on, somebody. Boy, that's good news. God's account of what's in my account is based on spirit and it's based on truth. And when I live by spirit and I live by truth, it sets me free. I become unshakable, unmovable by the natural realm. The nature of this kingdom we belong to is unshakable. God's account of what's in our account applies to the righteousness we have in Christ. How righteous are we? However righteous we feel that day? Maybe how righteous we acted that day? No. Whatever God says, the account of our righteousness is, that's what's in our account. And the more you believe it, the more righteous you'll live. You think behavior is more important than belief? You're wrong. What you believe to be true about yourself determines your behavior. The church has majored on behavior modification for all these years. Don't do this. Make sure you do that. How about we major on believing the truth? If we believe the truth, it sets us free. If we believe we're righteous and accepted and loved by God, we're going to manifest that fruit. Belief before behavior. 2 Peter 1 says that his divine power, that's dunamis, God's divine power in the Holy Spirit has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Sometimes we feel down. Sometimes our emotions mess with us. Sometimes our thought life messes with us. Sometimes we just find ourselves emotionally in very dark places and trying to discern truth out of those places. We're like the woman who they asked, "Do you wake up grouchy every morning?" And she said, "No, I let him sleep most of the time." Come on, I waited all week to say that. Amen. She's in a dark place. Get it? Do you wake up grouchy most of the time? Thank you, Joshua. Do you wake up grouchy most of the time? No, I just let him sleep. Hebrews 12 gives us exactly what to do in the event of any shaking going on in our lives. We're going to receive fresh God's unshakable kingdom. It's all right here. We're receiving, verse 28, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So we're going to do that every day. How many of you know as branches we need to receive every day? We need to abide every day. Let us have grace. So we're going to operate in the grace of God. That's His power through our humility. And then we're going to serve God. We're going to worship Him acceptably every day. When there's shaking going on in your lives, receive His life, His spirit, His kingdom every day. Hold on to God's grace through your humility and worship God acceptably every day with reverence and respect for God. That's what we're going to do. Let every shaking on whatever level, personal, business, family, or even the circus that is politics, drive you to reliance upon God's unshakable kingdom. Amen, somebody? Let all the shaking of natural things, see, it's the love of God really that you start seeing how fallible the natural is. He doesn't want you living and getting your joy from natural things. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Lord is the Spirit. Okay? So it's the love of God when we start realizing how fallible human relationships are. Anybody ever put all your happiness eggs in some human's hands? That didn't work out well, did it? I have to think about that one. Or you put all your happiness in the certain circumstances or a football team. It needs to be good and recognize it's good that when those things are shaken, hey, this reminds me God's kingdom is unshakable. That's where I need to be abiding. That's where I need to have my umbilical cord, my happiness eggs plugged into. Our full reliance on God and His Spirit. Because what do? Well, oftentimes we tend to chase after anything that glitters, looks like power to us, or is gold. We'll chase other things. So I thank God when I'm reminded that it's His kingdom that's unshakable. It's His Spirit that keeps me unmoved, undeterred by cares and worries and all those things. Politics agitate anybody? Yeah, it'll shake you to your core. It's shakable. Democracy itself shakable. We'll tend to gravitate to the opinion of certain people. You should never elevate anyone else's opinion over God's opinion of you. Amen? Because that's going to be shakable. Sure, they love you today. Just do something they don't like. Thank God Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Shakeable means that every time we try to rely on something other than Christ's kingdom, it's going to end badly with mathematical precision. Put earthly things in the saddle. Brace yourself. Put a person in the saddle of your life. Brace yourself. Your career, drugs, money, whatever it is. Put anything at the center of your being other than Christ, you're headed for disaster. Shakeable, shakeable, shakeable. All of it. Even the church has to attach yourself to the unshakable kingdom, not shakable church growth methods. Right? That just fluctuate with whatever's popular. Whatever the trends are. The church has to corporately and individually seek first the kingdom of God. There's nothing else in Scripture. Jesus said, seek first. So seek first the kingdom, His righteousness, everything else is added to us. Everything the church has from its gospel message to the Holy Spirit to the printed word is kingdom possession. It all belongs to the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit, the printed word, the gospel message, all of it, His. So as soon as we turn away from that into church growth methods, church membership, how do we do this, how are we going to do that, church programs, whatever it may be, you cut yourself off from kingdom backing. And a church without kingdom backing is toothless and powerless. And we've seen them. I believe that the hope for America, how many of you agree that we've kind of gone down a slippery slope? The hope for America is the church turning back to God and the Spirit of God as more important than what people think. We need to be more concerned about offending God by locking Him out of our services than we're worried about offending visitors who don't understand when we say blood, it doesn't mean we're going to sacrifice something. Amen. I had a pastor friend who was preaching one Sunday and he had a vision of Jesus on the front row. And Jesus was sitting here like this on the front row, right over left. And his hands over his head like this, bored out of his mind. And my friend was smart enough to wait till service was over to ask Jesus, what were you trying to show me there? And the Lord said, you know what? I'm bored because you don't let me do anything. You control everything. You do your program. You sing the same number of songs and you preach and then everybody goes home. Yeah. Who'd have thought the risen Christ, who said himself he would build the church, who gave his own life to begin the church, that he would want to run it? And here we're locked into church growth conference and how are we going to do this? Let's get more members. I'm not even going to tell you stories I know of things that go on in regard to nickels and noses and majoring on things that don't matter. Christ matters. He's the only one that can heal a human being. Only Christ can deliver a human being. But the church that's tapped into his power and receiving his power and acknowledges what he wants has all of his backing. Amen. Romans 14:17 says this. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Where is it? In the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. God's rule is in the Holy Spirit. So no matter what happens in the natural, it can't affect my right standing with God. Because my righteousness is in the Holy Spirit, not my behavior. And then how about my peace? Well, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Where's my peace live? In the Holy Spirit. How about joy? Same thing. It's not my circumstances, not in the stock market today. My joy is in the Holy Spirit. John 16:33, Jesus said, in the natural world, you'll have trial and tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the natural world for you. How did he overcome the natural world for us? By becoming the door to the dimension of the Spirit where we can find stability and peace and joy and rightness all the time. Amen. And thank God for it. Reminds me of John 14:27. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Lord, call us to supernatural places of peace where it astounds people around us. Unshakable, unmoved. You know, the martyrs in the Colosseum, guys, they would make those rulers so angry because they would just sing. When they burned them, threw them to the lions. How could they be singing when that was going on? They belonged to an unshakable kingdom that sourced them from another dimension. When Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branch, he's not talking about natural terms. He's a spiritual vine that's piping you every day. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. Wow. Martyrs lived from heaven towards the earth. They lived from eternity towards the present. They lived from the spirit towards the natural. Gavin, you guys can come. But what about, Brother Steve, when it's no small thing? What if it's really big? Life just throws a complete curveball at us. What do we do? Maybe reoccurring, right? I feel depressed at least one day a week, Brother Steve. What about that? What am I supposed to do? I battle fear and anxiety every day of my life. It's not a small thing. What am I supposed to do? Well, here we go. Here's what you do. I'm going to help you. Number one, do you believe it's God's will for you to be free of whatever is ailing you? Do you believe? You need to ask yourself this question. Whether it's a bad doctor's report, whether it's sickness or disease, whether it's depression, fear, anxiety, do you believe it's God's will for you to be free? Number one. Number two, did you ask him? Why does this matter? 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, do you believe it's his will for you to be free? My Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I believe he desires freedom from depression, angst, all that stuff, unforgiveness, bitterness. He absolutely, it's his will for you to be free. If you can't see it in heaven, it doesn't belong here. That's his will. Thy kingdom come, thy... If it's not there, it's not his will. All right? So we ask anything according to his will. He hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions we've asked of him. Maybe unseen for the moment, Maybe invisible for a time, but as sure as the sun's coming up tomorrow, it's yours. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if you know He hears you, then you have it. Maybe, like I'm saying, maybe unseen, not manifested in this realm just yet, but has it left His hand? You bet it has, and it belongs to you. It belongs to you. Amen. Stand with me. Father, I thank You this morning for the unshakableness of Your Spirit. Church, if you want to walk in this reality, I want you to just lift both your hands. We're going to take just a moment here. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the receiving of the unshakable kingdom of God. And Lord, that as sure as You are uncluttering us and defragging us, Lord, You are linking us to the unshakableness of Your Spirit and Your rule. I thank You, Lord, for peace that passes all understanding. I thank You, Lord, for an immovable people. Yeah, touched by the natural. Yeah, touched by things that we hear. Yeah, touched by things that we see and experience. But Lord, in our heart of hearts, unmoved, always abounding. Always abounding in the knowledge of this unshakable kingdom You've placed within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and of the earth, for proclamations of Your rule in all of our hearts. Just under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I command all sickness, go in Jesus' name. I command all depression, go in Jesus' name. I command all anxiety, go in Jesus' name. I command all spirits of fear, go in Jesus' name. Let God's people be loosed into stability and sanity and peace that passes all understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us be loosed into joy that doesn't come from the world. It comes from our King. Glory to God. We thank You for it, Lord, all these things. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give Him praise this morning. Amen. Listen, if you need prayer, stick around. We will pray with you here in the altar area. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Let's go change our world.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.